I'd get there early. I'd greet the folks that were there. I'd get up and I would play piano. I do play piano, by the way. Some of you didn't know that. Play piano, lead worship, take the offering, teach, and go to the altar all in one day. So after all that, I had to go and repent. You know, it's like, come on, somebody, amen. God's good, amen? All the time. While we stand this morning, we're going to turn on some lights back there. That would be awesome. Thank you for bringing up some house lights, because some of you are still hungover from all your partying that you did on Christmas, right? So, but God is good. He's faithful to us, and we praise Him. Amen. I want you to turn to a couple obscure verses this morning. First of all, we're going to look at Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. Malachi 4 and 6. We can back up to 5, I think. So let's back up to 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Next verse. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Wow. That is the last verse of the Old Testament. You realize that? That's the last verse. It's really a prophetic word concerning John the Baptist. So, and what John brought forth in going before Jesus Christ. Now I want you to turn to John chapter 1 and verse 14. I could have picked Mark 1 or, you know, Matthew 1, but I want to pick this. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. Aren't you glad for that? Full of grace. That's who Jesus is. When you look at Jesus, you see grace. He is grace. Come on, somebody. Full of grace and truth. When people look at you, that's what they need to see. You being full of grace and God's truth. Hold up your Bibles this morning. Let's say it like we mean it today. Come on, say it, Pastor. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I am what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you turn to five people and say, God will help you in the meantime. Hallelujah. Now, before you're seated, turn to somebody else and say, with God, there is no mean time. Right? Have you ever heard that expression, in the meantime? Anybody ever heard that? Amen. Well, you know, this week, between Christmas and New Year's, I always kind of think of that season as being kind of the mean time. Amen. It's like, you know, this is over, right? But this hadn't quite happened yet. Right? We've had this and we've done this, but we're kind of anticipating and waiting on what? New Year's, right? So it's kind of that week, and in church week, it's kind of that thing where you have this big high on Christmas and it's awesome, and then you kind of go, and you're waiting. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about some of us, you know, go through seasons of time when we are believing for something. We have a start on something, right? We know in our hearts that God has promised it to us. We have rhema on it. It's a revelation to us. Amen. But we haven't seen it manifested yet. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you got anything that maybe is going on in your life that you know it's a rhema, you know it's God, you know it's from God, you know God, it's for you? Amen? And yet, you haven't seen the manifestation yet. I mean, all of us experience that from time to time, right? So, when we have a promise, and we're believing, as Malachi, it was 400 years of silence. God did not speak again until those angels proclaimed about Jesus. 400 years transpired between this promise of Elijah and John the Baptist before it came to pass. Turn to somebody and say, you don't have to wait that long. And turn to somebody else and say, aren't you glad? Amen. But what happened, we see the promises of the Old Testament, and some of them were Christ, were far before that, before it became flesh, before the manifestation, and the Word became flesh. And so, you know, many times we find ourselves, we are waiting in this area, and what do we do during this time of transition? Hello? It's important to know what you do during the time of transition, because the promise is sure. The promise will not fail you. Hello? Every word that God has spoken is yes and amen. Everything that God's spoken is yes and amen. So we're going to talk about a little bit this morning about that. Look at Genesis 8:22. Genesis 8:22, one of my favorite verses. I use this a lot of times just when, you know, when we do offerings and talking about harvest. But look what he says. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat. I like the heat better. Winter and summer, I like the summer better, can I just say? And day and night, I like the day better. So, shall not cease. This is God's law. God has established laws upon this earth, and those laws are God established. You cannot supersede those laws except by another law that he established. In other words, today if you got on top of this building and jumped off, you would have the law of gravity unless you discovered and had the law of lift working for you. As a pilot, I appreciate the law of lift. Amen. So, and he says, while the earth remains, there's seed time and harvest, right? So what's happened is we have seed time. We plant the seed, and then it's time. It's seed time. He didn't just say seed and harvest. He said seed time, harvest. So there's a time between when you plant the seed, the Word of God, and you have the manifestation of the harvest. Seed time, harvest. Y'all with me? Right? Look at 1 Peter 1:23. 1 Peter 1:23. Look what he says. Amen. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. God's Word is his seed. If you have your Bible with you this morning, you have 66 bags of seed sitting in your lap. 66 books, 66 bags of seed, right? Look at Mark 4:26. So what do we do with the seed? We plant the seed. Mark 4:26, amen? We plant the seed, amen. And he said, the kingdom of God is a man should scatter seed on the ground. So we take the seed and we put it in the ground. What is the ground? The ground is this right here. The ground is me. I plant that word in my heart and in my mind, amen, and in my mouth. Praise the Lord. The kingdom of God is as a man should scatter seed on the ground. Next verse. And should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. So here he is. He plants the seed, and he sleeps by night, rises by day. So it gives us that time frame again, right? And the seed shall sprout. The seed begins to sprout. Amen. I'm believing God, and I'm thanking God, and I planted my seed, and the seed is beginning to sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. It's a miracle. But God's seed will always produce a harvest. God's seed will always produce a harvest. Amen. Next verse. Amen. I love this. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. So even the plant itself has a time process till full maturity. Correct? Y'all with me? Next verse. Amen. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Boy, I love harvest time. Seed time is good. Harvest time is better. Amen. I love harvest time. Praise God. It's a celebration. Amen. So what do we do in this time? Well, first of all, as a believer, you stand on your authority. You stand on what you have been promised. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Let's look at this verse a second. Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord, not in your own strength. We are strong in God's grace. Amen? We are not standing in our strength. We're not standing in our power. We are standing in His authority and His power. We're standing in His grace and the power of His might, not our might, not our effort. Amen? No, it's grace. We are resting in God's grace. We're strong in God's grace. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Hallelujah. Be strong. He commends them. Be strong in the Lord. In the Lord. Amen? Not in your strength, not in your effort, not in your ability, not in how much you pray. No, be strong in the Lord. We're going to talk about prayer in just a moment. Amen? Next verse, go on down. Let's look at this. We know this, but let's look at this a minute. Put on, actually, it is take up. The word there really is like take up. It's accessible. Take it up. You already have it. It's already yours. You got to take it up. Amen? The whole armor of God. So it says right there by declaring it's armor that we're in a battle, right? So when you're in between seed time and harvest, you're in a battle. And you got to know your authority. You got to know who you are in Jesus in order to see the harvest manifest. Man, I'm preaching good this morning. Lord, help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Some of you are going through things in that time, and you got to know who you are in Christ, what He's done for you, what's provided for you, amen, that you may be able to stand against the trickery of the enemy. Because during that time is when he likes to talk to you the most. That ain't going to happen for you. It may happen for them, but no, healing's not for you. I mean, I know you saw them get healed, but no, it's not for you. You know, you've done this, you've done that. He'll try to throw guilt, condemnation. He'll speak to you if you let him. Notice I said if you let him. He may come and speak to me, but he doesn't stay around too long. Like Holly said last night when our kids were leaving and, you know, that old spirit comes around. Oh, you're going to miss them, babies. You know, yeah, sure, I'm going to miss them. But you know what? I was glad me and Holly were there for a while. It was like awesome. And I love them. I got the love on them. But grandkids are great because you get to send them home. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell Holly, we raised ours. We did a pretty good job. God really helped us in that area. I love my grandkids. Amen. Praise God. Love my daughter. My son-in-laws are awesome. Amen. But man, when they go home, it's like, hey, this is all right. Amen. Praise God. Man, but they're great. Amen. So we put on the whole armor of God. We don't allow emotions or these things to rule us. We rule them, right? Let's go on. Next verse. Amen. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Turn somebody and say, I am not your problem. Would you do that? Amen. We're not fighting or wrestling against one another. We're not wrestling flesh and blood. We're not wrestling somebody else. Your war is not against another person. But listen to me. The enemy can use somebody to get to you if you do not recognize that. You stay in love with the person and get mad at the enemy. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We're not wrestling against one another. We're fighting against these foes that have already been defeated. Some of them don't know they've been defeated. So you got to let them know they've been defeated. Amen? Amen. Turn to somebody and say, they came to the wrong house today. Man, you know what? You're not going to just let any burglar break in your house, are you? If you were home and somebody was at your door trying to break in, would you just be passive about it? I got some friends. Amen. I got Smith and Wesson. They're good friends. Hello? Amen. Man, I got Smith and Wesson. What else? I've got Ruger. Ruger is a real good friend. 357 Magnum. Blow your head clean off, punk. Make my day, right? Amen. But I got a better friend. I got the Holy Ghost inside of me. Amen. But you wouldn't, you would defend your house. I would hope you would. Amen. You would defend it. The same with the enemy. You defend what God's already won for you. You maintain what God has given you, right? Against spiritual hosts and weaknesses in heavenly places. Let's go on and look at this. Come on, stay with me a little bit. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. What? May be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, what do? Do you fall down? Do you give up? Do you give in? No, you stand. When you've done everything you know to do, you have grace to stand in. Because when you're weak, it's when you're strong. Well, that didn't even make sense, does it? Amen? But Paul said, when I'm at my weakest, his grace is at its strongest. Man, that is awesome. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, you can stand. Amen? Next verse. God wants you standing. And then he says again, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. What is truth? Truth is God's word. So we stand in the truth of what we know. It's the truth you know that sets you free. We stand in the truth of God's word. The promise that's proclaimed to us is what I'm standing on. Remember that old song, Standing on the Promises of God? Stand on the promises, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Why is that so important? Because that's what the enemy accuses you of the first thing. He'll come and tell you, you're not righteous. He'll come and tell you, hey, you've done something wrong 20 years ago, and he'll try to bring it up in your past. Amen? You've got to put on the blessed plate of righteousness and say, no, 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 I am the righteousness in Christ. And, woo! Not that I'm going to be, not that I might be. No, I am. It's the breastplate. It's over your heart. You have been made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ, not of your own efforts, but of his efforts. Next verse, amen? And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Can you put this up in the Living Translation, brother? Can you put this verse up? Amen. If you can find it. The New Living. Amen. That's good, but the New Living. Yes. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the peace that what? The shalom that you have received from the good news. What's the good news? It's the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the gospel of grace. Amen? So you have received the good news that puts you at peace with God. Amen? And you walk in your shalom while you're going through this time. And it comes so that you'll be fully prepared. I love that, man. Put on that peace. It comes from God's good news in your life. Let's go on to the next verse, amen? In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith. Why? Because we walk by what? We walk by faith. We haven't seen the harvest yet. I see it in my eye, but I haven't seen it manifested in the flesh. I see it in my heart, but I haven't seen it manifested in the flesh. So what do? I see it by faith. I walk by faith. Amen? I stand in faith. Doesn't matter what's coming against me. I see it. I know I have it. It is already mine. I declare it. It's already done. Amen? Grace has provided it. My faith takes it. I stand in faith. And I stop all the fiery darts of the enemy. The enemy has no darts to you when you're in faith. You extinguish them all when you put up the shield of faith. The shield of faith, the word of God. I'm taking it because he says the very next thing. Look what he says. Amen. Put on salvation as your helmet. Turn to somebody and say, get your head straight. Renew that mind to what God's word says about you. Romans 12:2. Amen. Start transforming your thinking. Start tearing down any stronghold. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Amen. Pull them down. Stronghold is a thought that you've guarded in your mind and keep hanging on to, and it becomes a stronghold. It's a negative way of thinking against God's word. Pull it down. You've got the authority. Take your authority over it. Pull it out of your mind. Amen. Start thinking of what's lovely, what's pure, what's good. Jesus. Amen. Man, when you're going through these things, guys, I'm telling you, this right here will help you see a manifestation. I declare it. I speak it to you. But you've got to start casting down some things out of your mind. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take it up. Speak it out. Speak it forth. Amen. Speak forth God's word. Amen. Look at Hebrews 1:3 real quick. Hebrews 1:3. Somebody came to me the other day and said, you know what, Pastor, I love about your teaching. I said, what's that? You give us so much word. I said, I'm glad. I'm glad you got the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Hebrews 1:3, let's put that up in the King James, if you would, brother. Could you do that? King James is great. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things, how? By the word of his power. If God is holding everything up by the word of his power, don't you know it's the same for us? Amen. We hold everything together by the word that we speak. Amen. The world is held together and brought together by God's word. What a powerful force speaking God's word is. We hold it together. We hold ourselves together when we speak God's word. Amen. Look at Mark 11. Mark 11, 13 and 14. Mark 11, 13 and 14. Amen. We're going to go back just a moment to Ephesians. I want to see this. Mark 11. And seeing from a fig tree afar off, he went to see perhaps there would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. Next verse. Amen. In response, Jesus said to it. Jesus said to it. Jesus said to it. Whatever your it is, say it. Whatever it might be, your finances, your health, start speaking over it. Let no one eat from you ever again. And the disciples heard it. He said it loud enough that they heard it. I love that. Amen. Drop on down, if you will, to 20 and 24. Amen. Verse 20. Look at verse 20. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And look at this. I love this. Next verse, amen. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Turn to somebody and say, if Jesus can do it, so can you. So you got the same power in you that Jesus had. How come? Because Jesus lives in you. It withered away. Then listen to what Jesus' response to this was. Amen. Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God. Now, if you literally look that up, guys, this says, have the faith of God. Guess what? You have the faith of God. The faith of God is in you. In fact, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. You have God's faith. He's given you that measure of faith. All have the same measure. Next verse. Look at this. I love this. For surely I say to you, whoever thinks, whoever hums, whoever what? Come on, say it with me. Whoever what? To this mountain. He moved from a fig tree to a mountain. whatever is in your way, whatever's hindering you, whatever might be a force against you, the force is with you, right? Be removed and cast into the sea and does not. The word keeps you from doubting, amen? But believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever you. And you know what? Here's the good thing about it. You already have what he's already said. You just got to release your faith on it because grace has already provided it. Woo! That's good news, Pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Ephesians 6 real quick this morning. Ephesians 6. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Ephesians 6. Put on salvation as your helmet. As your helmet. Salvation. What is salvation? So, everything, God life. Amen. Everything God's provided for us, our healing, our finances, our relationships, everything. Amen. Put on that helmet. Clear your thinking. Amen. Get rid of the stinking thinking. Take the sword of the Spirit. Everybody say the Spirit. The Spirit of God is your best friend. Amen. God's Spirit is your best friend in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? You go to the next verse, verse 18, amen? Pray in the Spirit at all times on the greatest way to just continue walking in our faith is praying in the Spirit. Jude 20. Look at Jude 20. We're going to get back to this in a second. Look at Jude 20. Jude 20. The greatest way, listen, God gave us the Holy Spirit for a purpose. And when you're going through things, one of the benefits of having the Holy Spirit within us and praying in the Spirit is he keeps us in the faith. Amen? Keeps us believing for the manifestation that we're going to receive. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Keep building yourself up, praying in the Holy Spirit. The enemy is sent to agitate you. The Spirit was sent to comfort you. Anybody got a comforter at home? Does anybody have a comforter at home? What do you use that comforter for? To comfort yourself. How many know on a, like when it's a little chilly in the house, how many reach for that comforter? Anybody besides Pastor? Amen. Why do I do that? To comfort me. Amen. When I was in college, man, I grew up in such a backwood family. I mean, we were the hillbillies before there were the hills, right? And I remember in college, my friend had this, like, you know, I thought it was like a blanket, and you know, and it was big, and man, he'd turn on the air conditioning low, and he'd pull this big thing up over him. I said, dude, what is that thing? He said, man, that's a comforter. I'd never heard it called that. I'd never seen a comforter. I said, a what? He said, a comforter. I said, a comforter? And he said, yeah, my mom made this, man. I thought, dude, that is awesome. Then I got thinking about the Holy Spirit. He is my comforter. Amen? I pull him over me, man. Praise God. I pray in the Spirit. He brings peace, and not only brings peace, he builds up my faith. Amen? Because sometimes your faith needs to be built up because you've got unbelief fighting against your faith. Amen? And you need to pray in the Spirit. Turn to somebody and say, not only do you need to pray in the Spirit, you need to flow with the Spirit. No, you need to hear me. Turn to somebody and say real loud. You also need to flow in the Spirit. If you're believing for healing, you need to flow in the Spirit. Let me say this. Flow with the Spirit. Turn to somebody and say, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are subject to a lot of things in this world. God created our bodies. Along with those bodies, he created certain laws with this body. Stress will bring sickness on you. It's a natural thing. If you're living under stress and anxiety, you're opening yourself up to be sick. Amen. You got to flow with the Spirit. You got to understand what the Spirit is saying to you and how to get rest and freedom from anxiety. I'm preaching. Hello. Come on, somebody. Listen to me. Listen to me. God designed these bodies to heal. He designed them to heal. You don't need to go against the laws that God created, amen, but you need to flow with the Holy Spirit. If your New Year's resolution is to lose weight this new year, Holly and I, we'll go back to the gym. It'll be the fullest day at the gym January 2nd. It happens every time, right? New Year's resolution. You get it. You need to get a New Year revolution. Not a resolution, a revelation. Amen? Listen, let me tell you something. Because our bodies are designed to heal. God created these wonderful machines, these bodies, right? But our bodies are subject to certain things. And you put them, like, you need a certain amount of sleep. Not a whole bunch, but a certain amount, right? You need a certain amount of exercise. Don't have to have a whole bunch, but a certain amount. If you're going to decide to lose weight, you cannot start the new year on a Twinkie, Hostess, 12-a-day, six-pack of Coke, hello, and expect a miracle. Turn to somebody and say, that's just stupid. But we do the same thing with our bodies. We expect God to heal it when we're abusing them. You don't hear this preached to you. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church. God does not want you to abuse the temple of the Holy Spirit. Bodily exercise profited little, right? But it profits. And you can't go and try to do things and then expect God, oh, God, heal me. Well, you know what? His grace is good. His mercy is good. And a lot of times he just says, oh, I love you. Yeah, right? Amen. Amen. But I guarantee you, listen to me. I don't believe without a divine miracle, most of you could stay up for 5 days in a row. Your body would be about the second, third day, you'd about going. That's how they torture people, right? Amen. Your body, God wants to bring healing to your body, but flow with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will direct you, will teach you, will tell you, will minister to you. He has a voice. And you need to train your ear, inner ear, to hear His voice. Hallelujah. You can't just live on junk food all the time and expect to be healthy. Duh, the world knows that, right? We're smarter than the world. We have the mind of Christ. Turn to somebody and say, he's really preaching good to you right now. Yeah. Amen. And I'm amazed how that a lot of times people get to a place and then they say, okay, God, now do a miracle. Well, God can. He will. He loves you. But don't get to that place. Stay in health. Walk in divine health. You know what? We're all subject. Y'all look at me kind of weird, but we're all subject to things, right? But I believe we can stay on top of things, winning the battle, being the healed of the Lord, resisting sickness, instead of putting ourselves out there to be sick, to open ourselves up to sickness. For instance, laws of the land. It says go 70 miles an hour. There's a curve that says slow down to 25. You said, no, I'm going to go 95 around that curve. Chances are, you're going to wreck. You're going to get hurt, right? Why? Because you broke a natural law. There are spiritual laws. There's spiritual law of faith. There's spiritual law of grace. Amen? And there are physical laws. And if you don't get enough sleep, if you don't treat yourself your body right, if you don't get enough water and good things in your body, you know what? Amen. I don't know about you, but I plan on living a long time. Turn to somebody and say, me too. Amen. Say 120 for me. Do you know I believe people cut their life short? Because there's laws. All I'm trying to say, church, is just flow with the Holy Spirit and you'll be good, man. Amen. He'll tell you what to eat. He'll tell you what to do. He'll even tell you where to go. Amen. He'll tell you, hey, you don't need to go there today. Amen. Just wait a little bit. Hey, you don't need to buy that right now. Amen. Just wait a little bit. He is so good at that. Hallelujah. He is the best. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in the most holy faith. What? Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll never be drinking a six-pack of Coke every day and get a six-pack of abs. Just saying. Hallelujah. God loves you so much. Amen. He cares for you so much. Let's go back over to Ephesians chapter 6. Amen. Pray in the Spirit at all times. What? Pray. The Spirit is not, subject to any place, man. That's why it's the Spirit. Wherever you are, you could be praying in the Spirit. And you don't have to get loud. Oh, yeah, la mama sabadaba. No, you can pray in the Spirit softly. I pray in the Spirit right there lots of times. No one ever knows I'm praying in the Spirit. Amen? Pray in the Spirit at what? Folks, it's so, if he wouldn't have said that, it wouldn't be important. It's important that we pray in the Spirit. And on every occasion. Can we go back to Jude? I want to go back to Jude chapter 20. Look at this. Jude chapter 20. We quote this verse, pray in the Spirit. Jude chapter 20. Let's go back to Jude. Hey, Jude. Jude verse 20. But you, dear beloved, you, dear friends, build each other up in the most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Next verse. Put this up in the King James. Would you do it? I like in the King James a little bit better. Keep yourself in the... It says that down the NLT, but here it says it right where I believe it should be. Praying in the Spirit keeps ourselves in the love of God. Amen? Because we're perfect in our spirit, but this flesh sometimes wants to get way out of hand. This flesh wants to raise up at times and have the spirit of slap come over it. Some of you experienced this with some of your family this week, right? Amen. I mean, it's like, okay, amen. Man, that auntie I got, ooh, amen, whatever it might be. But when we pray in the spirit, it keeps us in the love of God. And we know that faith works what? Faith works in where? What atmosphere does faith work in? Faith works by love. So that's why Paul was saying, praying in the Spirit at all times. When we're praying in the Spirit, we're building our faith up and we're keeping ourselves in God's love. Because it gets this fleshly thing under control. Because James said, no one can tame the tongue. No one but God. And God gave the remedy for taming the tongue is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Man, when we pray in the Spirit, it just does us good. Amen. It just does us so good. Looking for the mercy of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, into eternal life. Amen. We receive that. We have it today. Why don't we stand this morning? Amen. You might be in that mean time, but it doesn't have to be mean for you. Doesn't have to be mean for you. Praise God. God's got you in a good place today in Jesus Christ. Let's hold up our hands and make some confessions today. Can we do that? Come on, say it with Pastor this morning. I am beloved of God. I am victorious in Jesus Christ. I am believing for the supernatural manifestation in my life. While I'm waiting, I've got my mind on the Word, I've got my mouth on the Word, and I got my heart in the Spirit. Thank you today. I am victorious in every area of my life. I declare it, I claim it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. give somebody a high five and tell them you are loved. Come on, let's give God some praise. Amen.